Thank you, Pastor Larry, and good morning, beloved. Great to be with you. What a wonderful morning. What wonderful sharing. Such a great introduction about Jesus, and the focus in our singing is about his grace extended through the suffering of Christ, through his resurrection, how we worship him in response. The verse that comes to mind is Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his great love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that has been the theme that has been resonating this morning through Pastor Larry's comments, introduction, and through Rhonda's. And so let's continue in that vein of worshiping our suffering Savior, our risen Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thanks for this time. Lord, thank you for each precious person online and those that couldn't be with us this morning. We know that several are away, and we ask that you would be with them, keep them safe while they travel, draw their hearts to you through every sight that they see, every place that they go, and lead them into fellowship with people who will speak into their lives words of praise, words of truth, words that attribute glory to our risen Savior. Lord Jesus, we invite you through the power of your Spirit to minister to our hearts, and that we would praise the Father in unison as we continue in worship through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to speak to us about staying in faith when nothing is happening. We all have things that we're trusting God for, but we often find ourselves waiting for our prayers to be answered and problems to turn around. We've been praying and standing in faith, but nothing is happening. How do you handle that? Well, now we're well on in years, perhaps, or the need that we have has come and gone, or it seems like it's come and gone. It seems like we've missed our chance. It's too late to have a baby, or it's too late to start a business, too late to break this addiction. I've had it so long. But many times, God waits on purpose till the odds are against us. He waits till the obstacle is too big. So when he turns it around, there won't be any doubt it was his favor, his healing, his power, making a way where there was no way. And when he does that, who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? Well, obviously, God gets the glory. The scripture says, let all that you do, whether you eat or sleep, be done to the glory of God. And even in times when our prayers aren't answered, and we're standing in faith, waiting for his provision, when that answer to prayer comes, he gets the glory. But in that process of waiting, we're being refined to be more like him. So don't be discouraged when it seems too late. You don't see how it can happen. You're in a prime position for God to show up in your life. And don't discount that waiting period. You know, the scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That waiting is a very important part of our growth in our relationship with the Lord. I'll give you a prime example from the Old Testament. God told Abraham when he was 100 years old, and you can read this in Genesis 11 and following, right through Genesis 18. God told Abraham when he was 100 years old that he was going to have a baby. That's a bit late, don't you think? Abraham's wife, Sarah, was barren. She never had children. Plus, she'd gone through the change of life. Now, God could have given Abraham this promise when he was 30 years old, when Sarah was in her prime, so she could have a child. But he waited until all the normal possibilities were exhausted. You see, God doesn't do things on a normal schedule, a normal time frame. He's God. He has everything strategically planned out down to the smallest detail. It's not like he forgot or he miscalculated. Oh, I meant to give them this promise years early. Why did I wait so long? No, that's not God's thinking. You see, the key is to stay in faith when nothing is happening or when it seems like God's answer has come too late. God delayed his answer to their prayers on purpose. He purposely waited until the odds were against them. He chose Sarah on purpose, who was barren, not able to have children. He chose Abraham, who was now quite old, on purpose to father a child. Well, maybe God has put promises in your heart that seem too late. You don't see how you could get well, how your child can get back on course, how you'll find the right opportunity to change your situation. Well, God didn't miscalculate. He didn't accidentally choose the wrong person. God let the odds be against you on purpose. He let it seem like it's too big, too late, too far gone. You're right where Abraham was. A baby when my wife is barren? A baby at 100 years of age? God let the circumstances seem impossible. Then he said, now, Abraham, listen to me, Abraham. I'm going to bless you. I am going to bless you. God doesn't do things on a normal schedule, a normal time frame. He has some unscheduled blessings for you, things that are out of season and out of the ordinary. You know, sometimes we just forget how generous is the father heart of God towards his children. Your parents, you love to give good gifts to your children. You'd die for your kids. You'd sacrifice whatever you have to help them. It's because of your great love for them. And if we, as the scripture says, as Jesus pointed out, as we, as just mortal human beings with temporal desires, can be that magnanimous, that generous, how much more so is our Heavenly Father, who's perfect in his love? And he gives in a way that is full of wisdom, full of discernment, full of discretion. But you're here this morning and you're saying, look, I'm past my prime. The medical report says it's too late. The financial experts say things are going down. That's when God steps in and says, let me show you who I am. I'm not limited by time. I'm not affected by the economy. I'm not restricted by your age, your background, the opposition, by how long it's been. I control the universe. When I speak, wombs come back to life. When I speak, Red Seas part. When I speak, sicknesses leave. When I speak, unbelieving hearts are opened. And when I speak, addictions are broken and marriages are restored and opportunities for service show up. When thoughts tell you it's too late, it's never going to happen now, let that go in one ear and out the other. God is faithful. What he promised you is still en route. You may not see any sign of it. Every circumstance says there's no way. There's no way. But you know what? Things are happening that you can't see. In the unseen realm, God is moving the wrong people out of the way, lining up the healing, the favor, the good breaks. They're already on schedule. One of my favorite verses, Romans 8:29, says that God causes all things to work together for good for those that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. For he has predestined us to be transformed into the likeness of his own dear son. You know, that waiting for God's answer to your prayers is really a part of his refining. It's a part of his transformation. It's a part of our growth. And it's so important to stand in faith when nothing is happening. You see, if you didn't have these problems and challenges, there'd be no growth. God is expanding your faith through your present circumstances. So are you trusting God right now for the provision for yourself, for a family member, and you're struggling and you're saying, God, how is this going to happen? I'm trying to orchestrate things. I'm trying to work things out. I'm trying to make it happen. But it seems like I'm being frustrated in all my efforts to resolve the issues. Could it be that God is saying, release that issue, that concern, that child, release that challenge, that obstacle, that problem, release it to me and begin to actively trust me, then I'm on it. I got it. I have a plan and I will provide in my way, in my time. So here's the key. If you could see how it was going to happen, how it was going to work out, that wouldn't take any faith. But if God would have promised Abraham a baby at 30 years old, that would have been great. But that wasn't unusual. That wasn't extraordinary. People would have babies at that time, at that age. God is going to put promises in your heart that are out of the ordinary, things that seem unlikely, too big, too much money, too much opposition. Now it's up to you what you do with that promise. Are you going to dismiss it? I don't think that's for me. No way that can happen now. What, me get well? Start my business now? Me the right person? My kids will get back on track? We say, God, here I am in my present situation. Where were you 20 years earlier? Where your provision, your care could have made such a huge difference. How do you know that God has not waited on purpose? How do you know, like Abraham and Sarah, that God didn't let the odds be against you for a reason? He's saying to you what he said to them. Now I'm going to bless you. Now I'm going to heal you. Now I'm going to turn that child around. I'm going to provide for that child. Now, at this season in your life, I'm going to cause your business to excel. Why don't you receive that into your spirit? It's not too late. It's never too late with God. You haven't missed your chance or your opportunity. God waited so he can show up in your life. He wants to make you an example of his goodness, his loving kindness, his glory. If he did it in a normal time, no one would have noticed. If he did it under ordinary circumstances, it would have been no big deal. So you need to get ready for some unscheduled blessings, out of season provision, not the normal time answer to prayer. Promises that you've given up on, dreams you've let go, you've accepted the reality. It's too late to accomplish that goal, too late to break the addiction, too late to build a more fulfilling life. You know, that may be true looking at it on a normal schedule. You don't see it there, but God is saying, it's still on my schedule. I still have a way to bring it to pass. I wouldn't have promised it if I wasn't going to do it. You know, you look at the Old Testament and the 600 different prophecies, and 300 and some odd different prophecies concerning this specific person and work of Christ. And then all those years that the faithful had to wait for the fulfillment of those promises. Decades, even centuries, they waited for the fulfillment of God's promise of a Messiah, the Lamb. And they waited and they waited and they waited, but they were standing in faith when nothing was happening. Now, let me encourage you all through the day, pray something like this. Father, thank you that what you started in my life, you're going to finish. Thank you that your greatest goal is that I would learn to trust you, because without faith, it is impossible to please you. And when I come to you, I need to know that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Thank you that the work that you have begun in me, you will perform it. Your word says that I can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ's return. It may seem too late for me, but I know it's not too late for you. Thank you for these unscheduled blessings and blessings out of season. Help me to trust you. And help me to lean on your promises as revealed in your word. Amen. Well, there's a prayer, and you can shorten that prayer because that's a little longer than I intended. But you get the drift. Begin actively expressing your faith each day about the things that are near and dear to your heart, the promises that he's placed there. You know, when Abraham heard that he was going to have a child, the scripture says he laughed to himself and said, God, how can I become a father at the age of 100? And Sarah's 90. How can she have a baby? It was so far out, it was almost comical. Abraham didn't tell Sarah anything about it. He knew she would have thought he'd lost his mind, or as we say, lost his marbles. But not long after that, Sarah overheard three men talking with Abraham. The three men said to Abraham, "By this time next year, Sarah will have a baby." When she heard that, she nearly passed out. You can imagine. She laughed and said, "God, how can an old woman like me have a baby? Plus, my husband is an old man." She was saying, "If you think I'm old, you should see my husband." My wife says that sometimes about me, not about her. And what Sarah was basically saying is, "God, you found the wrong couple. You showed up too late. You better find someone 50 years younger than us." She didn't think there was any possible way it could happen for her and Abraham. And then in Genesis 18, verse 13, God said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, 'Can an old woman like me have a baby? Is there anything too hard for the Lord?'" That's what God said to Abraham. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's what God is saying to you today. You're struggling with an issue, with a concern. It might be your health, your finances. It might be concern over a child. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Sometimes God puts promises in our heart that are so big, so unlikely, it's almost funny. And all we can do is laugh because it's so unbelievable. "God, you want us to start a church plant? And you want me to step up and pastor the church when I've left a previous church and I was in distress, unable to minister? God, you're saying we're going to have new opportunities to reach the lost. Have you seen how big the challenge is? How strong the opposition? How unlikely the chances of success? Or you're saying, 'I'm going to lend and not borrow.' Have you seen my finances? You say, 'Rejoice in the plans I have for you.' Don't you know we're in the middle of a pandemic? Or God, you say my children will be mighty in the land. But have you seen what they're doing lately? Are you sure you have the right children?" Those are some of the thoughts that we have when we bring our promises before God. God is saying to you what he said to Abraham: "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" He spoke worlds into existence. He parted the Red Seas. He cured the lepers. He brought the dead back to life. What you're up against is no match for him. One touch of his favor and you'll see the new opportunities to serve, healing breakthroughs and divine connections. Genesis 21 says that the Lord did exactly what he said he would do. God on purpose waited for Abraham and Sarah to be older. On purpose, he waited for the odds to be against them, so much so they both laughed. They both thought it was impossible. You'd think in response, God would say, "Okay, fine. If you don't believe, if you don't think it's going to happen, you think it's too far out, I'll find someone else. Thanks. Have a nice day." But God is so merciful. Even when we don't believe, even when our faith is limited, God steps in and says, "Hey, I'm on this. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to show you favor anyway. I'm going to heal you anyway. I'm going to turn it around anyway." And there's a verse that's a favorite of mine that says, even when we're too weak to have any faith left, he remains faithful to us and will not disown us, we who are a part of himself. Isn't it wonderful? When we are faithless, God is faithful. Oh, I so want my faith to be perfect, but my faith is so far from perfect. And yet God has always been there for me, has always got me where I needed to be. It's amazing. It's really a statement of his committed love to you and me. You know, I know that sometimes I've released my faith and I've believed, I've expected, and I've seen the goodness of God, and I've seen many answers to prayer. But to be truthful, there are plenty of times where I didn't have the faith. I thought it was too far out, that the problems were too great, the opposition was too big. And my faith, my character, what I brought to the party was just too little, too weak. But despite my lack of faith, God showed up in my life. That's how good God is. If he only blessed us when we believed, when we were performing perfectly, when we had crossed the T's and dotted the I's according to his will. If he only blessed us under those conditions, we'd never reach our true spiritual destiny. Like with Abraham and Sarah, God is going to do exactly what he promised at the time he has planned. It may seem too late, but that's how God planned it. It may look impossible. That's how God planned it. The medical report may not be good. You had a setback in your finances. The odds are against you. That doesn't stop our God. You haven't missed your chance. The window hasn't closed. In our kitchen, we have a plaque hanging on the wall that says, "Don't tell God how big your problems are, but rather tell your problems how big your God is." An unscheduled blessing is coming. An out-of-season opportunity is already en route. Healing, breakthroughs, the right people, they're already on your calendar. It's going to happen at the time that God has planned. Can you trust him with that? He's for you, not against you. The scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? The scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will bring it to pass. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will fulfill those desires for his goodness, for his provision. And over in verse 7, Sarah says, who had ever thought that I would have a baby at such an old age? God has some of those who had ever thought blessings lined up for you. Who would ever thought my business would take off like this? Who would ever thought I would meet someone this awesome? Who ever thought my two sons would find great places to live in Vancouver? Who ever thought they would find jobs, friends, and educational opportunities? My boys were struggling with some very real issues, and they're online this morning. And without going into those issues, I can say, they have seen God show up in their life. They've experienced his healing, his provision, his care. And I tell you, waiting for those answers to prayer for Dixie and myself, they were not easy. There were months and years of waiting and praying, God, please, would you bring the healing? Would you bring the provision? And to see where both of our boys are now, we simply give praise to God because they are tracking with him and they are being blessed by him. They're experiencing his favor and his provision. And it's not lost on them. They can see how God is orchestrating the events of their life. Oh, it's challenging. And there's problems and there's struggles and there's things that they have to go through. But what they're seeing is God's faithfulness every step of the way. So you might be saying, well, who would ever thought I'd feel this good again? Who would ever thought we'd be planning to return to in-person services after 16 months of a pandemic? Who would ever thought that our fellowship could not only survive, but thrive during such a long period of shutdown? Who would ever thought? It's the faithfulness of God. You know, Sarah went from laughing in unbelief, thinking she was too old, to laughing with great joy, holding the baby, seeing the goodness of God. Can you imagine what that must have been like? 90 years old, probably 91, holding a baby. If that doesn't do something for your faith, I don't know what would. Imagine being Abraham and Sarah with teenager in the house. We think we don't have enough energy for our kids at times. Imagine what that must have been like. Well, some of the promises that God had put in your heart may seem like it can't happen now. It's too late. You tried and it didn't work out. Well, according to God, it's still on schedule. It hasn't happened yet for a reason. It wasn't the right time. Like with Sarah, one day you're going to be holding that baby, so to speak, holding that promise, saying, who would ever thought God would have blessed me like this? You're going to stand in amazement at what God has in your future. We need to trust him and the father heart of God for his children. Now, quit believing those lies that if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. Come on, if you're going to get well, you would be well by now. If you're going to get that good break, meet the right person, write that book, surely it would have happened by now. Look how long it's been. You know, Psalm 37, 34 says, don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Keep traveling steadily along the path, and in due season, he will honor you with every blessing. This is saying if you'll keep doing the right thing, persevering in your trials, faithful in your walk, then God will send blessings you didn't expect and didn't earn. It may be a healing with your name on it, or perhaps a business with your name on it, or maybe a baby with your name on it, or how about a husband or a wife with your name on it? Don't be impatient. If it hasn't happened yet, it wasn't supposed to happen yet. Well, Travis, look, I'm getting old. I think I've missed my season. What is it? Is it ministry? You think that maybe because you're older, that God's not going to use the gifting that he's placed in your life for serving him? Whether it's musical gift, whether it's leadership, whether it's teaching or preaching or service or as a missionary. Now listen, you're coming into your season according to God's timing and his sovereign will for your life. People may set parameters. People may limit us from doing all that God intends, but God doesn't. He blows the doors off. He says, welcome to my world. Let's explore what I can do with the heart that's truly surrender, truly humble. We say, well, look, you know, there's people that's turned against me. They don't include me. They leave me out. Well, listen, if that's happening, they were supposed to leave you out. It's not setting you back. It's setting you up. Keep honoring God, and every blessing that has your name on it is coming your way. People can't stop it. Bad breaks can't stop it. Age can't stop it. Time can't stop it. The economy can't stop it. The forces of darkness cannot stop it. Like Sarah, your womb may be dead, so to speak. In the natural, it's too late. It shouldn't happen now. But God knows how to bring a dead womb back to life. He can bring dead dreams back to life, a dead relationship, dead finances, even dead health. The scripture says he's the great physician. Do you need healing? Trust him with that. Are you depressed and struggling with loneliness? He's the wonderful counselor. Begin to trust him with that. Do you need that constant sense of love and care and nurture? The Bible says he's the everlasting father. Will you trust him with that? Are you anxious and distraught? Are you overwhelmed by the circumstances of life and the news that brings one bad story after another? The word declares he's the Prince of Peace. So trust him with that. When it's your time to experience newness of life, God will resurrect everything you need to see his power at work. Isn't that great? I mean, God's word is so positive. Not only your womb like Sarah, but he'll wake up the Abrahams, the people that you need to fulfill God's calling on your life. I read a story about a young lady, and if you'd like to find out a little bit more about her, go to Wikipedia. And her name is Victoria Arlen. She grew up very healthy, very active, but at the age of 11, she had a pain in her side that wouldn't go away. She had her appendix taken out, but that didn't help. She continued to go downhill, and she lost 30 pounds in a few weeks. The doctors were baffled and couldn't figure out what was wrong. She got to the point where she couldn't swallow. She lost movement in both her legs and her arms. And she ended up in the hospital in a vegetative state, not able to open her eyes or communicate in any way. She couldn't talk. She couldn't move. She was locked in her own body, much like ALS. She was finally diagnosed with a rare autoimmune disorder. And the disorder I looked up is transverse myelitis. And then she also had an encephalomyelitis combination. So it was a perfect storm. She had both of these conditions, and it caused swelling in her brain. It caused neurological shutdown. Can you imagine what her parents were going through? Here's their 11-year-old daughter, who's been healthy, bright, energetic, full of life. And now there she is lying motionless. Her parents were told that she would be in a coma the rest of her life, and she probably wouldn't live that long. Against all odds, they believed that God was still in control, that he was still a healer, and that they could trust him with their daughter's health. And they surrendered her fully to the Lord. They trusted God for her healing, but they also trusted God for however he might choose to answer their prayer, even if it meant that he would take her home. They fully surrendered their daughter to him. That's tough to do, isn't it, with our children, especially when they're struggling. That's really tough to do. And we say, God, where are you? Where's your provision? But month after month went by, and they'd sit by her bed praying and reading scripture and talking to her and speaking faith into her, even though she couldn't respond. Something amazing happened. 2 years later, 2 years, she woke up on the inside. She still couldn't move, but she was aware of everything that was happening. She could hear the doctors telling her parents that she was gone and there was no chance of recovery. And she could hear her mother telling her how she loved her and how she was going to make it. Her parents kept praying and believing that God would restore her. This young lady often heard her parents say, God is the great physician. He's the healer. He can do what medicine can't do. In her mind, instead of feeling sorry for herself, she would say, I believe that God is restoring health back into me for his purposes and for his glory. God gave her a special gift of faith. Boy, did she need it. Our children need that gift of faith, don't they? Because when they're struggling, if they're not looking to God, if they're not trusting him, they're going to find it a very frightening journey. Well, thoughts would tell her, you're trapped. You'll never get out of this body that can't move. She would answer back, no, my God is faithful and my time is coming. This is not how my story ends. It seemed like God was too late. In a coma, trapped inside her own body, not able to communicate, but God always, always, always has the final say. Sometimes he'll let the odds be against you just so he can show his power, his love, his blessing in amazing ways. 3 years later, 3 years, 2 and 3, that's 5. She opened her eyes, and that was the start of a long journey back. She learned to speak again, to eat again, to move again. Everything came back except her legs. She was paralyzed from the waist down, and she was happy that she was out, grateful to be in a wheelchair. Puts it in perspective, doesn't it? But she wasn't satisfied, and she was trusting God for more. She knew what God started, he would finish, not just in healing her body, but in transforming her heart, in growing her spiritually through this ordeal. Her faith kept her forging ahead when she wanted to give up. She was told that she would never be able to walk, But through prayer, hard work, training, she defied the odds and took her first steps. Today, Victoria Arland can not only walk, but she can run. She was on Dancing with the Stars. She's one of ESPN's youngest on-star personalities. While she was still paralyzed waist down, she won a gold medal in swimming as a Paralympian. I mean, pretty amazing, isn't it? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Just because it seems like God is too late doesn't mean that he's not going to come through. Don't be fooled by the circumstances. You may not see anything. The odds are against you. The experts say it's not going to work out, but God controls the universe. Don't be impatient for him to act. Keep believing, keep praying, and every blessing that belongs to you will show up. You won't have to go after it. It's going to come to you. It's going to happen at the time God has planned. Over in John chapter 11, Mary and Martha sent word to their good friend Jesus that their brother Lazarus was very sick. And Jesus was in another city. And the messenger said, Mary and Martha want you to come quickly. Their brother Lazarus is sick unto death. Well, a day went by and Jesus didn't show up. And I can imagine just what Mary said to the messenger. Did you tell him it was me? One of his best friends? Yes, we told him. Did you tell Jesus how urgent it was? Yes, we told him. But still, another day passed. He didn't come, and another. Finally, Lazarus died. He died. After repeated requests, Lazarus died. Can you imagine how Mary and Martha must have felt? On the fourth day, Jesus shows up. What do you do when God shows up too late? You prayed, you believed, but the problem didn't turn around. The business didn't make it. Your health didn't get better. You can imagine. Mary and Martha were so upset. Martha rushed out to meet him and said, Jesus, if you would have been here sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. She's saying, how could you do this to us? We're your friends. When you needed us, when we needed you the most, you let us down. Ever felt like that? I think we all have. They thought that Jesus didn't care, that he was too busy, preoccupied with others. But the scripture says in this text, as he stood outside that grave, as he looked at the people who were weeping and crying and grieving Lazarus' death, it says two words, Jesus wept. He could have gone straight to the tomb and raised Lazarus, but his tears let them know that he cared. He wept because he loved Lazarus. He wept because he felt the sorrow, the heaviness that they were all feeling. But you know what? He also wept because of their unbelief. How many times has your lack of faith grieved the Father heart of God? It says, we don't really trust you. We don't really believe that you love us. We don't really imagine or have confidence that you're going to bring provision or care or deliverance. See, when God shows up late, thoughts will tell you God doesn't even care about you. How can he let this happen? Look at all the pain, the heartache. He could have stopped it. Don't believe those lies. The scripture says that God collects all your tears in a bottle. He feels what you feel. He feels the loneliness, the heartache, the loss. He weeps when you weep. His heart breaks when your heart breaks. You're his child. If you're a parent, you know when your child is hurting. You hurt with them. Well, God is your heavenly Father, and he hurts when you hurt. What did Jesus say? He told him, roll the stone away. Now, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and it's a hot climate. Martha said, Lord, it's going to be a stench. Are you sure you want to roll the stone away? It's going to be a stench. You know, sometimes you have to deal with the stench before God brings his healing. And what does that mean? You have to be broken over your sin and unbelief. You have to be real. You have to revisit the emotional core and do some acknowledgement of the things that are wrong, the places that are in pain, and deal with what God is bringing to light. This is being a good steward of your own soul. As we say, deal with it. Well, Jesus spoke to Lazarus. He didn't pray. He didn't pray. He didn't fold his hands, bow his head, and pray. He just spoke to Lazarus. Because who is Jesus? Jesus is God incarnate, the one true God. Some things you need to pray about, but some things you need to speak into. He said, Lazarus, come forth. All of a sudden, Lazarus came back to life. Mary and Martha were praying for a healing, but Jesus had something better in mind, a resurrection. You see, sometimes there has to be a death before there can be a resurrection. In fact, all the time there has to be a death before there can be a resurrection. But sometimes there has to be a death instead of a healing. And sometimes we may be praying for healing, and God says, no, I want to give you a resurrection. You know, I want to give you a resurrected body. I want to reveal my glory full force. You see, God always has our best interest in mind. And sometimes we limit God in terms of what we think he should do or how we think he should do it. Sometimes the reason God delays is because he's going to do something better than you think, something bigger, more rewarding, something that will bring about greater glory for him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. From that day forward, no one ever saw Lazarus the same way. No one ever saw Mary and Martha the same way. They had a new respect, a greater influence, a greater honor, because they'd experienced the touch of God in their lives. But you know, they turned that honor right back to God. They said, see how great our God is? It's all about him at the end of the day. We think it's about us, but it's all about him. And like them, you may be wondering, why is God so late? Why hasn't my health turned around? When is my business going to get better? When is this trouble going to resolve? You're believing for a healing. You're believing for provision for your children. God is delaying because he has a resurrection coming. He has something much better than what you have in mind. God wants your children to know him, to love him, to follow him with all of their heart, not in some religious way, but in a passionate urgency that comes from deep within through the power of his Holy Spirit, through the truth of his word. Trust him when you don't see anything happening. Believe when heaven is silent. He's working behind the scenes. The scripture says he's made you an heir to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing. There's no blessing that's left out, according to scripture. Every blessing has your name on it if you'll be patient. It's not only going to find you, it's going to be much better than you think. The delay is a sign that God is up to something bigger, greater. It's a sign that he's about to show up in your life. I just was sitting on our deck and I'm looking at how the Lord has provided for our family. This morning I was in prayer and I was just thinking, God, this is nothing we deserve. This is nothing we deserve, but you have blessed us beyond measure. We're so thankful to God for everything that he's poured into our life, and we give him all the glory. The mistake we make too often is we get discouraged in the delays. We believe those lies. God's not concerned about us. He would have been here by now. Does he even know what I'm going through, what my children are going through? The scripture says God sees every sparrow, every little bird that falls to the ground. How much more does God see you? You're his child. He made you in his image. He calls you a masterpiece. Not a messy piece, a masterpiece. He sees what you're going through. He's concerned and he's coming. At the time he has planned, in your due season, you're going to see breakthroughs, healing, freedom, abundance, more than you'd have imagined. And after Jesus rose from the dead, Peter was up fishing. And I was thinking about this. This is the coolest thing. He'd spent the last few years with Jesus and one of his closest friends. He never dreamed it would end with Jesus being crucified. Can you imagine how shattered he was? He was discouraged, confused. So he went back doing what he did before Jesus called him to full-time ministry. He gravitated to that safe place. Fishing is what he knew. So that's where he was. And as the story says, he'd fished all night, caught nothing. The next morning, as he and his friends were coming in, there's the resurrected Christ. There's Jesus sitting on the beach. And Jesus shouted, "Hey, Peter, have you caught anything?" They didn't recognize him. They told him, no fish. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll catch plenty of fish." When they did, they caught so many fish, they couldn't pull it all in. And I think the text says there was like 152 fish or 156 fish. That's a whole lot of fish. And they tried pulling in, but their nets were about to break. There was so many fish. Peter took a second look at the man sitting on the beach and realized it was Jesus. It was Jesus. He jumped in the water, swam to the shore. When he arrived, he could smell something so tasty, so appetizing. Jesus was cooking fish on an open flame in an iron skillet, maybe with a little flour and a little seasoning salt and a little butter. It was just sizzling. It was brown. It was so sumptuous. He said, "Peter, sit down. Join me for breakfast." He served him golden grilled fish. What Peter couldn't catch all night, now he not only has a whole boatload of fish, but Jesus has already cooked it and prepared it for him. You see, when you go through a delay and you fished all night, nothing's working, and you're wondering where God is. How come I'm not getting any good breaks, Lord? If you're not going to help me, don't hurt me. Listen, if you'll keep doing the right thing, God's not only going to give you an abundance, but you're going to come into some prepared blessing, fish that's already cooked, opportunities waiting for you, the right people, healing and transformation. You're not going to have to make it happen, start from scratch. It's going to fall into place. I can smell something in the air. I smell fresh fish. I smell prepared blessings. You've had delays. You're wondering where God is. He's cooking your fish. He's got the fire on. He's about to offer you breakfast, so to speak. You're about to see what God has been up to. Don't be impatient for God to act. Keep honoring him, and every blessing that has your name on it will come in. Nobody's getting your fish. Sometimes when God is not showing up, we're not seeing things happen. We feel like we're falling behind. Others are getting ahead. And we start to envy the blessings that are going on others. And we think, "God, where's my blessing? Where's my opportunity?" We all feel that. But God has all the fish that belongs to you. You tried all night, so to speak, caught nothing. It's been months or even years. You haven't seen the good breaks, the opportunities to serve, healing, the things not turning around. Don't worry, your fish are being stored up. He told the disciples to throw their nets on the right side of the boat. That means those fish are not that far away. You don't have to do something drastically different. God's going to bless you where you are. He's going to cause the fish to find you. Not a little bit, but a great haul of fish. Don't we sell God short? We don't want to put too much in God. Part of it is we're just being self-protective. We don't want to be disappointed, right? Listen, you may be in a dry season and things are not changing. God sees your faithfulness. He hasn't forgotten you. He's going to make up for what hasn't happened. Like with Mary and Martha, not a healing, but a resurrection. So I want to say to you, be encouraged. There's boatloads of blessing that God has for you. And they're on their way, both now and in eternity. Prepared blessings, both temporal blessings, eternal blessings. Like with Sarah's, who would have thought blessings? Dreams bigger than you've imagined, problems that look impossible, suddenly turning around, the fullness of your destiny coming your way through the name of Jesus, through his shed blood, through his sacrifice, through his provision, you are heir to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Your blessings have your name on it because you have put your faith in the one who suffered and died for you, who paid the fullness of your sin. And just as Pastor Larry said at the beginning, he gave up all that he had, including his freedom and his right to justice and his right to a fulfilling life in order to make you the recipient of heavenly blessings. It's all because of Jesus. We give him the glory today. And I want to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life. If you don't know him, pray with me. Lord Jesus, you know the struggle I've been in. You know how I've tried to figure out my circumstances, my challenges, my obstacles, my problems. I really haven't been trusting in you, really haven't been looking to you. I'm not even sure that I know you. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that you would forgive my sin and come into my heart. I want to be your child. I want to surrender all that I am in faith, knowing that you can take much better care of my life than I can take care of my own. My calling is to know you, to love you, and to glorify you. And I can trust you for the provision for my needs and the needs of my family. So, Lord, here is my heart today. I give it to you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Much love from our family to yours.